Yo, what's going on out there? This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. We got another great episode for you all out there. Hopefully we learn something, find out some new info, whatever you want to call it, but that's what we're here for. We're going to level up. Hey, but before we do, we want to shout out Hindsight Media Radio for putting this whole thing together. Also, I need you to log into RyanHodgeBooks.com and check out some of my novels. There's 9 of them up there. A little bit of something for everybody. And if you can't find something for yourself, hey, maybe you'll phone a friend. And maybe there'll be something up there for them. Either way, we're going to get to the show in a sec. Later. What's going on, my people out there? What's happening? You know who this is. This is Ryan Hodge, and we're going to level up. What do we got today, man? Today, we're going to touch back on some stuff that we talked about a few months ago. It's a real funny thing. Some of the stories that we've covered over the time that I've been doing the show have actually come to some finality. So we're going to talk about that, man. So that's it. We're going to talk about some new things, some old things. We're going to get to it. You know what I'm saying? Like how we do on the show. So just come back, politic me for a second, and we're going to talk about something that had finality that I talked about a minute ago, and we're going to talk about some other things. So come back with us in a minute. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. All right, so I'm back, man. So let's just get right to it. So a few months ago, man, we had a show, and it was basically about controlling your emotions. And we talked about how controlling your emotions can potentially keep you out of getting into a lot of trouble. A lot of problematic things happen. People lose control of themselves. And one of the stories that I used to exemplify what I was talking about was a story about a guy down in the Dunkin' Donuts. So without going too far into the story, but just to recap. So it was a Dunkin' Donuts. The manager was working. He's a black guy. So he's working his shift. A white guy comes to the drive-thru. Apparently there was a problem with the guy's order. So he didn't take it very lightly. So what he ended up doing, he lost his cool, got a little irate at the drive-thru. Then he came inside the store. And when he came inside the store, the manager was trying to calm him down, you know, make things right. And the white guy started calling him the N-word, using racial slurs, you know, just tripping out like that. So as a result of the white guy using those slurs, unfortunately, the Dunkin' Donuts manager, you know, he was taken aback by it. And he decided to put his hands on the guy. So he punches the guy in the face, speaking of the customer, punches the customer in the face. The customer, unfortunately, falls, hits his head and dies in the hospital a few days later. So there you go. He lost his cool, and he ended up getting locked up. And he was originally charged with something like aggravated battery. And, you know, it was looking real bleak for the guy. It was looking like he was going to face a whole lot of jail time. So, as a matter of fact, it was felony battery. He was originally charged with felony battery. And like I said, he was arrested. And it was looking like it was going to be a real, real problematic ordeal. So just to give you the follow-up. So he did get arrested. He actually went to court or whatever and was going to court, and he ended up pleading to a lesser charge. So the lesser charge that he pleaded to enabled him to escape some jail time. So he ended up getting like 200 hours of community service. This was down in Florida. He got 200 hours of community service, got a couple years of house arrest, which is really major because, you know, had he gotten charged with something more inimical to his future, more severe, he could have been in jail for a long time. So he made out pretty good in a sense. So like I said, house arrest, got to pay a fine, some community service. So either way, I mean, he actually made out pretty good. So I just wanted to give everybody a second to update you on that, man, because it's just a good feeling that we've been on the air long enough to where some of the things that I talk about on the show, actually we get to see some finality from them and resolution. So that's what we're talking about. So again, with that being said, like I always say, gotta control your emotions. It's gonna keep you out of some trouble. And if you're the person who starts, you know, you're the aggravator or the agitator, and you're stoking somebody's flame, hey, it could potentially come back to hurt you too. And it's like I always say, man, you got to be real careful out here when dealing with people. So just try to be mindful that people got a lot going on in their lives. You never know what the other person's intentions are. Some people may stoke a flame with you because they're going through it themselves, or they may know they have something that you don't, and they may want to use it on you. So I say that to say, just be careful out here when you matriculate in these streets and whenever you're doing what you're doing. Unfortunately, you know, I got another story about somebody losing their cool, letting their emotions get the best of them, and, you know, things go awry when sometimes you don't have control of yourself, like in the story of the guy at the Dunkin' Donuts. So I'm going to tell you about the story like I always do. You know, I'm a storyteller. I like anecdotes. I write novels. Check me out on RyanHodgeBooks.com. So I'm going to tell y'all what happened. So here's how the story goes. It took place last month, sometime in, it was in Philadelphia, man. So you got normal situation. You got delivery drivers out in the streets. They're making deliveries. You got normal people just floating around trying to get home. So it was a parking space that two individuals had their eyes set on getting. One of the people who wanted the parking space was a delivery driver, and another person who wanted the parking space was a regular citizen just trying to get the parking space. So as it goes, the regular citizen, if you want to call him that, ends up getting the parking space before the delivery driver could get the parking space. Now, you figure delivery driver, you want to get as close to the residence as you could so that way you can, you know, make a short trip of your delivery and get through. But also the citizen just took the parking space. It was open. He grabbed the space. He got it before the delivery driver. Really should be no big deal. It is what it is. It happens all the time. It's actually to be expected, especially in a popping city where there's a lot of cars, a lot of people out. So I would think that one would just let it burn, but it's not what happened. The delivery driver immediately got out of his vehicle and he started yelling at the guy that was driving his car who took the space or got the space. So the other guy started yelling back. So now it's delivery driver verbally assaulting the guy who took the space, the yelling back and forth. And then at one point, the delivery driver punched the guy who got the space and ended up dropping him, meaning knocked him off of his feet. So when he knocked him off of his feet, the driver of the delivery vehicle immediately heads back to his vehicle in an attempt to leave. Well, as he's leaving, the guy who got punched and dropped, he had a gun on him and he starts shooting back, not shooting back, but actually shooting at the delivery driver's vehicle. And they actually shot him a couple times, one time in the jaw, maybe in the shoulder, something like that. But he definitely was hit a couple of times. So now what happens? The guy, the driver of the vehicle, the delivery vehicle, he left the scene, go get treatment somewhere. The driver of the car who actually did the shooting, he just pulled off and went about his business. Sometime later, he thought better about what he had done and he actually turned himself in. So that was a good look on his part. And fortunately for the delivery driver, he did end up getting some assistance to make his way to the hospital. Like I said, he didn't die. He was listed in critical condition. So that's a good thing. At least he didn't lose his life. But what are we talking about here? We're talking about losing your temper over some things that don't matter. A parking space, somebody shot, and the guy who actually did the shooting, like I said, he did turn himself in, and he's facing some charges, attempted murder, aggravated assault, you know, all sorts of, again, unnecessary charges that unnecessary really didn't have to happen. If the delivery driver would have kept his cool, and then the guy who got attacked, in my opinion, the attack was actually over when he started shooting because the delivery driver had already made his way back into his vehicle. And like I said, the guy got shot in the jaw and he got shot in the shoulder, but it was actually his back. So just imagine you got shot in the, you shot somebody in the back who wasn't an imminent threat to your life. So it's going to be real hard for him to beat these charges. Now, again, you know, one might call it self-defense, but it's going to be hard to prove that when the guy was already in his vehicle driving away. So good luck to the guy. Hope he has the situation is fortuitous for him, you know, but something's going to come of it. And hopefully we're still rocking and we'll be able to do the follow up on the story. But like I'm always talking about, stay composed, people. You never know if people out here doing things that they just want to do to make sure they can get a rise out of you. We could use this example right here. You figure the guy who did the shooting, he knew he had a gun on him. So, hey, you never know. He knew he had the upper hand in most situations. So he could have been out there just trying to stoke anybody just to get a rise out of them, knowing he has a gun on him and knowing he could shoot it. And for the guy who was a delivery driver, this is another reason why you don't put your hands on people, because somebody may be doing something to get you to act violently, knowing they have a gun on them, and then you fall for the bait and you end up putting your hands on somebody who has a gun. And guess what happens? You end up getting shot. Now, I'm not saying that that's the only reason you shouldn't put your hands on somebody, but you should be mindful of the fact that people do carry guns and people do try to incite emotions in people to get them to act accordingly or act the way they want so they could use the gun. You just never know. So tighten up out here. It's just one piece of advice. Keep your hands to yourself. Keep your emotions in check. And if you know that you're one of those people who have emotions that get out of control, you're always arguing with people, you seem to be in a tizzy all the time, you might need some counseling. So do that. That's some advice to me to you. You know, if we got problems out here, we want to find solutions. So if you always find yourself upset, easily annoyed, you'll go get you some help. Talk to somebody and see if they may be able to get you back right. So we're going to pause right there. We're going to take a break and we're going to talk about some more stuff. You know how we do. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. So once again, I'm here. This is me. This is Ryan Hodge. This is Level Up. We're still just kicking it, man, about all sorts of things. And we're still going to run with this not losing your temper sort of thing. I think some advice I can give to anybody is when you're trafficking about, when you're doing your day-to-day and you're in a car, right? Everybody knows certain areas in the country is known for bad traffic. A lot of cars on the road. You can expect if you go to California, certain times of the day, you're going to be sitting in a lot of traffic. Everybody's familiar with it. If you're not too familiar with Houston, sometimes you go to Houston, you'll sit in some bad traffic as well. Let's just keep going, man. If you go to New York, everybody's familiar with New York traffic. If you're not, it's pretty bad. So sometimes you can expect for traffic to be at an all-time high. Sometimes you might be at a standstill on the road. Cool, expect it. Sometimes you just have to expect certain things when you're doing certain things. For example, if you're driving a car, you're driving your car down the street, sometimes accidents happen. It's to be expected. Maybe today is the day you had the accident. You hit somebody, somebody hit you. We know we're in the age of texting and driving. People are being distracted while they're driving at an all-time high, it seems. So when you leave the house for the day, you have to expect certain things. So I'm just saying you have to expect potentially an accident, traffic. Maybe you have to expect a flat tire. These are things that normally happen to people in their lives when you're talking about driving every day, all day, several times a day, you're in and out of your car. So with that being said, I have another unfortunate story, which is similar to the one I just told about the guy getting shot down in Philly. This story right here is coming out of NY up in New York. So what happens is you got two dudes driving down the beltway. Traffic is traffic. Things happen. They end up getting into a car accident. Like I said, this is kind of normal in my opinion, but they get into a car accident. And unfortunately, some verbal altercation ensues. And then before you know it, a physical altercation follows the verbal altercation. And before you know it, a man is left dying on the side of the road. So what exactly was it? New York City firefighter. He was actually killed on the side of the road. He ended up dying from his injuries. And the guy who did it just drove off and never called any help for the guy. So now he just got sentenced. This story is actually back from 2018, but it's just back in the headlines because the case has finally reached some finality. So the guy who did the murder, he ended up getting convicted of murder and got sentenced to 25 years to life. So looking like he's never going to make it home. They want to make an example out of him because what he did was highly egregious, and to leave the guy suffering on the side of the road doesn't sit well with a lot of people. And not that it matters too much, but it is what it is. According to reports, the accident wasn't even a major accident, just a minor fender bender with minimal damage to the participants' vehicles. And for some reason, the guy just lost his cool. And like I said, it went left very quickly. The last thing somebody expects, especially from a firefighter, you start thinking about all of the ways that a firefighter might die. What would you think? Maybe one way the firefighter might die, obviously, he may die on the scene trying to save somebody's life, put out a fire. We get that. Maybe if he's driving the fire truck and they're in a rush trying to get to the scene of an incident, he's in a rush to save somebody's life in the truck, and maybe they get hit by somebody who didn't hit a fire truck, somebody dies that way. But it's unfortunate to think that a firefighter, anybody in that for that matter, but just using a firefighter since this is this instance, a firefighter is just driving down the highway, has a slight accident, and ends up dying from that. And that not even being an incident itself, but an altercation that ensued from a minor fender bender. So really not what one would be thinking, but unfortunately, that's the way it went. In these situations, man, when we recognize somebody who has an anger problem, we actually need to try to find ways to get that person help, or the person has to get help before it turns to something like this. And the reports from this exact story says that the guy who did the murdering, he actually had a history of this sort of thing, and even had some charges of hate crimes on him. So the guy obviously was going through some things, maybe had some illnesses that just went untreated. And if he did have some illnesses that went untreated, it's just unfortunate, because it ultimately led to him being locked up for 25 years at least. And the way it's looking, it's probably going to be a lot longer, because the judge didn't seem too happy about what the guy did. So where do we go from here? How do we be better? We know people have anger management problems. And if you're one of those people, seek help. And maybe sometimes you may need some drugs that help you calm down. And I'm not saying to go to that, but I'm just offering a solution to the problem, because it may keep you safe. Also, and I say safe from being out of jail or harming somebody. Also, man, I mean, you just got to find things that you know trigger you, and you just got to find a way to stay away from them. For example, if you know that big crowds often get you upset and have you acting unlike yourself, maybe a parade is not for you. Maybe that's the place you stay away from. Or maybe if you know that concerts have people who are rowdy, or big games, people are rowdy, often inebriated or under the influence of other substances, and you know that ticks you off, maybe you stay away from those places. You know, just never, don't slide through there, because you may become violent and agitated because of something somebody did, something somebody said, or even the way he or she may be acting out there. So that's just some things that you need to keep in mind. Now, as far as driving in traffic, I mean, it is what it is. You're going to have to drive, and sometimes it's going to be traffic. So when you find yourself getting your emotions high from whatever's going on, when those things are triggering you, hey, man, you might have to try some breathing exercises. And again, like I said, if you seek help on the front end, maybe they can give you some strategies to help you cope with those anger issues that you have. And down the road, you may find yourself not exhibiting any more of those symptoms that can keep you in trouble, get you in trouble, or even have your family in trouble. Because if you have kids and stuff like that, and they need you home with them, and then you go outside and lose your cool and end up doing a jail sentence for 25 years, where does that leave the family? So it's just in the best interest of you to find different techniques out there that can help you with those anger management problems. Because like I said, with the situation in Philly, somebody lost their cool over a parking space, ended up getting shot in the back and in the jaw. Somebody is now on trial for attempted murder. And then in this case right here, back from 2018, like I said, road rage incident was just a minor traffic accident. Somebody ends up dead and somebody else is in jail. The ramifications going forward with those two people's families, their future outlook isn't good, man. You got potential family members who are breadwinners, support systems, all of those things that we know family members can be. They're no longer alive. And the people who go to jail behind it, they're no longer in the household either, which could be a further strain on their kids, which leads back to a lot of stuff I talk about on this podcast about trauma. And now, like I said, the ramifications along the line for everybody, 20 years from now, they can never potentially never recover from it. So we just got to tighten up and, yo, go to anger management therapy, use breathing techniques. If those things don't work, hey, man, surround yourself with positive people who may help you find things that you like to calm you down. It might be gardening, might be anything, but you got to find ways to get that anger out of your system. And more than likely, a lot of times, it's some unresolved trauma that you're going through and don't even know it. So you really need to sit down with somebody who can help you unlock those barriers that's hurting you and keeping you from growing. So tighten up out here. But listen, I'm going to fall back for a minute again. We're going to talk some more about the things that we're talking about, and we're going to go. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge, so stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute. All right, we back, man. Thanks for returning with me. So listen, we're just talking about different things. We're going to switch gears from what we talked about last segment. This segment, we're going to talk about normalcy. We're going to talk about normality. We're talking about things that we're accustomed to in society, far as ways to behave, ways to move, certain ways to do things. Things that might stand out to us being odd, unusual, you know, stuff like that. So let's just talk, man. If somebody was going to the prom, the normal thing, you know, you think to see students may pull up to the school or wherever the prom is being held, whatever venue, you think people might show up in suits, tuxedos, you know, the females or whatever, maybe in gowns, anything like that, all makes sense. It's the prom. You've grown accustomed to a certain normality, right? So with that being said, if somebody showed up to the prom wearing a baseball uniform, that might stand out as being odd because, you know, more than likely you've probably never seen it before. It's not the normal attire that somebody would wear to the prom. And, you know, on the flip of that, if you're at a baseball game, you're sitting at the baseball game, you're in the bleachers, everybody's watching the game, and somebody comes walking through in a tuxedo, a full-blown tux and a top hat, just to sit down and watch a game, that would be something that most people would say is odd, is different. Possibly, I would almost venture to say everybody in the game just about would say, I've never seen this before in my life. So not to say that there's anything wrong with it in this regard, but it's just that it's unusual. And things that are unusual, oftentimes, depending on what it is, may make somebody act differently. If they don't act differently, they may question what's going on here. Why is he or she dressed like that? Or if even behavior-wise. Let's go like this. You're at a funeral, and you're at the funeral. You know, funerals tend to be solemn events. You know, you would expect to see somebody crying potentially at a funeral. Now, if you see somebody at a funeral and they get up to do a eulogy or they give a few words and they do a comedy skit while they're supposed to be, you know, just giving a few final remarks or whatever, you would think that is being odd. You would say, nobody's ever done this before. This is crazy to me. This is unusual. You might even say, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done that. At a bare minimum, you at least may question why the other person did whatever it is that most people would deem unusual. And as always, if you've been following the show, you know I'm not putting this out there for nothing. This is actually, like I said a second ago, related to what we're going to talk about in this segment. So if you haven't been following social media or the media lately, this is all stemming from a situation that happened down in Atlanta, Georgia. So what exactly happened? So basically the story is going something like, it's a famous Hollywood director. I won't use his name, but famous Hollywood director. Everybody knows him pretty good, I guess, so well known. But either way, earlier this year, he goes to the bank and he wants to make a withdrawal. Normal situation. We've done it all, but we've all done it before. Know somebody who's done it before. We've been to the bank to make a deposit or a transaction. In this situation, it was a withdrawal he was trying to make. So the gentleman goes into the bank. We know it's times of COVID, so he's wearing a mask, which is normal for what's going on right now. Nothing new there. He has on a Scully pair of sunglasses, and he proceeds over to the teller. When he gets to the teller, from what's said is that he gave the lady his credentials, and then he also handed the lady a withdrawal slip, and it had a note on it that read, basically, you know, I want to make this withdrawal, but count the money elsewhere. I want to be discreet. So in that moment, the teller, she was kind of confused and she wasn't too sure if this was standard business, if this was underhanded. She just was confused because what most people would expect to be normal, especially if she hasn't done this before, she wouldn't expect somebody to hand her a note that says, count this money elsewhere and be discreet. So I just want to pause for a second and say, let's just think about a movie. When you watch a movie, oftentimes in the movie, somebody's robbing a bank. They come in like a regular customer. They wait patiently. Nothing new here. They go to the counter and they present a note. Now, they don't often present ID in a card, of course, but they present a note and it's always something like, don't make a big stir. Just remove the money from the register. Things like, don't give me the dye pack. And it's always the thing of if you comply, nobody will be hurt. So follow these directions to the T. So now just imagine for a second. Like I said, we know it's COVID time. So just imagine somebody comes into the bank with a mask on, sunglasses, hands you a note that says, be discreet, count the money over there. Now, listen, I'm not saying that the guy was doing anything wrong, of course, but I just think he could have moved differently. And in the lady's defense, she actually called a manager or supervisor of some sort over, and they had a consensus sort of deal where they decided, since it just was a bit too shaky for what they thought was normal, they decided to call the authorities. Of course, the authorities showed up, and they detained the gentleman for a little bit and a couple of people he was with that was waiting out in the car. So they were detained. The police officers, they did their due diligence. They conducted a short investigation where they questioned the gentleman who presented the check as well as his associates. They did another investigation where they talked to the bank teller and the manager who decided it was in the best interest to make sure everything was good. So after however long it took, I don't know that, but after a certain amount of time, the gentleman who was initially detained, they were let go, and pretty much it ended there as far as nobody was hurt, no shootings took place, nobody was arrested, anything like that. So now let's talk about it. Now, I'm one of few, it seems, that thinks that the gentleman proceeded incorrectly when entering the bank. Maybe that's just the way I see it, but here's what I say. And this is for anybody. We're talking about etiquette, like I said, normalcy, just to try to be as normal as possible and not raise any hairs. So I just want to say, here's what I would have done. The first thing I would have done, and I understand where the guy was coming from. He's famous. He doesn't want a lot of fanfare. So he has a kind of a disguise, if you call it that. The Scully, glasses, face mask, which is normal for these times. No big deal. But I understand where he's coming from. You don't want anybody to know what you got going on. So first thing I say, to be as normal as possible, when you come into the bank, you at least got to take the shades off, right? Bang. That way people can see your face, and then you want people to see your face anyway when you're conducting business. So it is what it is. So come in the bank, take your sunglasses off, wait your turn, you make it to the teller. Now here's where what he did was a mistake in my point. I think what I would have done is this. When I got to the counter, I would have handed the lady my credentials, ID, bank card. You know, they want your PIN, and that's cool. I would allow her to verify my account. My information is pulled up. And then at the point when the next question normally is, how can I help you? And then I'm going to say, I want to make a withdrawal. Now, I'd already have the amount written out on the withdrawal slip, as I believe he did from what it says. So I'm going to hand her the withdrawal slip. She has my account open. That already allows some of the apprehension to come down. So just picture this. What normal for everybody isn't normal for the next person. So normal is different depending on who you are. $12,000, which is what was supposedly attempted to be withdrawn. It's not really a lot of money, but that's my perspective. Now, somebody else, potentially the bank teller, 12 grand is a lot of money for her, which is unusual. So you got somebody coming in with sunglasses on, making an unusual transaction per what she's accustomed to. hey, you never know. The most she might have had somebody withdraw from their account was $500. And even just on the day-to-day, the average person doesn't even have $12,000. So you're already talking about an unusual situation. And then you add in sunglasses. And then, like I said, the person has written on a sheet of paper, which on the withdrawal slip, count the $12,000 over there, be discreet. That is abnormal. You probably never gonna have somebody write a note on the back of a withdrawal slip and telling you to be discreet. That's almost along the same lines as give me the money, don't make a sound. Now, I know it's not the same. I'm not saying it's the same, but when you're talking about things are unusual, now everything is in question. So like I'm saying, what I would have did, like I said, I'd have let her verify the account. Then I would have said, you know, I want to make a withdrawal. Here goes the withdrawal slip. She's already verified the account. And she's not overwhelmed with everything at one time. You're given the ID, the bank card, and then at the same time, the withdrawal slip. So now she has to take all of this in. Like, wait a minute. What's going on here? So I just think I'm going to do my due diligence as a citizen and as a customer of the bank. I'm going to try to make this transaction as smooth as possible. Like I said, to me, that's not a large amount of money. I've taken out money like that doing book events and stuff like that. So I've done the same thing every time. I come in, like I said, no sunglasses. I'll greet the people and they take care of me. But one thing about the 12 grand, you don't really have to say count it over there, be discreet. And I'm going to tell you why, because $12,000, in my experience, is not sitting with the teller. They may have a few thousands, some 20s, some hundreds, but I've never withdrawn thousands of dollars from the bank. And the bank teller sat right there and had the 12 grand or whatever the amount I've withdrawn sitting up there. Most often in my experience, they have to go in the back to get the money. I don't know if it's in the vault or wherever it's at, but it's never just sitting right there. And then when they do that, they go in the back, they count the money. And then if you're so concerned, I know the bank that I bank with it being a large amount of money, they give me the option of counting it elsewhere. So it's not in everybody's view. You don't have a bunch of people on the outside looking in, sizing your pockets up and potentially squatting on you. So again, that's just my experience. So I'm just telling it from the way I see it. Come in the bank. You want to make everybody as comfortable as possible. And the main thing is to keep this sort of thing from happening. I just think it's my job to do what I can to keep misunderstandings from happening. So with that being my thought process on the front end, I'm thinking about how I can make any transaction go as smoothly as possible, especially when you're dealing with an amount of money that a lot of people aren't familiar with or comfortable with, or just, again, might think it to be a lot of money. Now, also, if I was that afraid of my money being counted so publicly that it could cause me harm. Also, another thing I would have done on the front end is I would have called the bank. You can almost get all of these numbers offline. I would have called the bank a few minutes ahead of time. Listen, you know, I'm going to be down at the bank. I'm a customer of yours. I have an account with you guys. I'll be down at your institution in 20 minutes, an hour, whatever. And this is what my intentions are. I'm going to withdraw a certain amount of money. You know, I want to be as discreet as possible because, you know, I'm famous. And, you know, so that way you can actually have somebody waiting for you in a sense to say, oh, yeah, this is the guy who called ahead. We got you covered. They may even make sure the funds are available for you, because I've even had it in instances where I've tried to withdraw a certain amount of money out my account. And the bank has said, we don't have that much money on us. They couldn't give me all of that money. So when you deal in these things, you know, it gives you some knowledge of how to proceed. So in some instances, I've even had to go to different banks to pick up that amount of money, or, like I said, call days ahead. So that way they can have the money in the institution and then I can go pick up the money on that scheduled day. Again, I'm just trying to make this transition as smoothly as possible for me. And in turn, that'll be smooth as possible for the person who's conducting the business with me. I just think it's just your duty to disarm any sort of fears and hostility that you can, if you can. And in this case, I just think a little bit of forward thinking
other than just to write on a note or a sheet of paper that says, count the money over there, be discreet. To me, that's just too bank robbery-ish. I've seen too many shows, movies. This is what I do. I write screenplays, so I'm a movie buff. And a lot of times, like I said a moment ago, it always just tends to be a note, be quiet, don't tell anybody, don't hit the alarm. And again, as I'm saying it, I'm obviously not so far-fetched in my thinking because this is what the lady thought. So again, do your duty on the front end. Try to be as normal as possible and just try to make everybody at ease. So that's what I would have done. Also pertaining to the same situation, there's a lot of people out there that's saying that the teller herself should be fired because she called the cops on the guy. Well, she didn't really call the cops. She actually, like I said a minute ago, she actually called her manager and the determination was made from there that they called the police. But with that being said, a lot of people are saying that she should be fired. And I don't think she should be fired because she had a question about something that was going on with an account or a customer. And she did what she was supposed to do by escalating it to somebody who was her supervisor, who knows more than what she does about the, you know, etiquette, I guess. Either way, and the determination was made that the police be called out. So I don't see what she did wrong. She interpreted the situation the way she did. And then she got clarification, authorization from somebody above her. They took the onus and they proceeded in calling police. So in this situation, you got two people who just questioned it so much that they decided to proceed this way. That lets you know right there that it was definitely something that was a little off with the thinking of all parties involved. And I'll say this as well. For anybody who thinks that, you know, the lady should be fired and the bank should be sued and all that good stuff, I just want to ask you, if your son or your daughter were going into the bank to make a transaction, would you tell your son or daughter to write on a sheet of paper, count the money in the corner over there in the cut and be quiet or be discreet? I would venture to say nobody would instruct their kid to go into the bank with a note and tell them to be discreet while they're counting the money. I would question it. Maybe I'm wrong, but hey, if you hear this podcast and you disagree, holler at me and we could talk about it. But all I know is I'm never setting myself up for failure. I'm trying to think of ways to be as smooth as possible, as clean as possible, and make all transactions go accordingly and do nothing suspicious or something that would be deemed suspicious by the persons or people involved. That's all I'm saying, my two cents. But listen, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to do some more politicking about different things, man. So come back with me. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. In a minute, y'all. All right, y'all. So we back again, man. Thanks for coming back from that break. And we still here, man. We just chopping it up. I got some more stuff to talk about. You know what I'm saying? I want to talk about an interview. I was interviewed a couple weeks ago, man. It was a pretty good interview, man. Talked about a few different things. We talking about Dr. Tremaine. We got a shout out because she was the one who conducted the interview. So thank you to Dr. Tremaine. We're actually going to get her on the show sometime. You know, we're gonna work it out. She's a busy woman. So I'm going to get her on the show. But either way, we talked about my books and, you know, what got me started. You guys have heard this story before. But either way, Dr. Tremaine, shout you out. Communities and Cooperation, look her up. Also, Dr. Flavor. She has a seasoning line. It's hers. She created them herself and supposed to be healthy stuff. So shout out to her for doing the thing. And I mentioned her in particular because, you know, every time you get around somebody, hopefully you surround yourself with people who you can learn from. And I want to speak to her in particular because, you know, when she conducted the interview on me, one of the things we talked about when she was talking about, you know, her endeavor and her flavor line, her seasoning line, she was talking about the need for people to reduce their sodium. And it's so bugged out, sodium intake. The reason why it's so bugged out to me is because I'm a calorie counter. I often look at the labels and see what calories are in this and what's in that. And as I count calories, I'm on the treadmill, you know, trying to keep myself, you know, slim and trim, I guess we'll say, you know, as much as possible. Not to say I always hold to it, because sometimes I do overindulge, but, you know, I guess it is what it is. But I'm still in that treadmill, though. So now let's get back to her. So as she was talking, and here I am looking at calories, I'm counting sugar that's in the stuff that I eat, you know, things like that. And then she started talking about sodium. Now it took me by surprise, because here I am thinking I'm doing everything the right way, per se. I'm moving perfectly in my endeavor, if you want to say that. And I never thought about sodium. So after meeting with her and having an interview, it made me check myself. And what I did to check myself was I started looking at the labels of the things that I was eating and to find out what the sodium level was in it. And it's crazy that I found out that I was actually intaking more sodium than what's recommended by the FDA. Now, I'm no doctor. And like I said, Dr. Tremaine, she's the doctor. But she was telling me that, you know, in an interview, that she was saying that you're supposed to take like 2,300 milligrams of salt or less per day. And now here I am, the things I eat soup mostly, some crackers. Like I said, to me, things that I wouldn't consider to have a lot of salt. But when I started looking at the daily numbers and what's in those things I was eating, I found out that the soup had a bunch of sodium. Granola bar, something I eat, they have sodium. Crackers have sodium. So they may be low calorie, the things I was eating, and they may be low sugar, but those things I was eating, in the totality of them all, the sodium intake I was bringing in was more than what was recommended. So, like I said, here I am thinking I'm moving properly, doing all the things I can do, and I wasn't. So just from a conversation who had a particular set of knowledge that I was not in the know of, that I didn't have, I learned something. So surround yourself with people who know more than you or know more in a different field than you. And you can really find yourself on the better side of life, health-wise or financially, whatever it may be. So what I was able to do in just a couple quick tweaks, the crackers that I was getting were, let's say, regular saltine crackers, if we'll call them that. I got the ones with a little less salt and was able to reduce the amount of salt I take in by about 50% just on that alone. And then even the soup, different salt levels, granola bars, the whole nine. So basically, I was able to just tweak a couple of things based on what I eat and what that 2,300 milligrams is. Now I'm under the sodium that I intake per day, just from tweaking a couple of things, and I still get to eat the same stuff. So never be afraid to sit around people who have different knowledge, skills, skill sets, the whole nine, because you can really learn something from somebody and it could save your life. And that sodium thing, you know, it's real important that we stay away from sodium because it's linked to all sorts of health issues. So that's the main thing. You know, on the show, I always talk about being healthy, eating healthy, living healthy, the whole nine. So, hey, just from talking to the good doctor, I was able to change up some things and now I'm intaking far less sodium than I was. And maybe that's going to make me be healthier going forward. And that's what we're on the show for, to just make everybody better, be better, including myself. I don't know everything, and I don't know a lot. It's a lot of stuff I don't know. And hopefully over time, we could get more guests on the show, the good doctor herself. We even got to get Dr. Letitia on the show at some point. She's another person who interviewed me, and she's all about mental health, and she's a guru of it. So we'll get her on the show at some point, too, and we can all just keep learning and building and becoming better, hopefully uniting our community and helping us flourish. And along the same lines of just talking about perspective, you know, I mentioned perspective on this show before when I was talking about being at a basketball game, courtside versus nosebleed. You know, it's just different perspective. You're taking things from the game that you couldn't see from up top. So I mentioned that before, but just to go along with perspective and what I'm saying about being around people who just think differently than you sometimes, you know, they can definitely help you grow. So I give an example. You know, I deal in examples and anecdotes, like I always say. So I got one for you on this exact thing. So I shoot pool. I'm not good at all. You know, I'm probably just the average person around the hood. You know, I'm going to miss some shots I should make. And sometimes I'm going to make some shots that I probably should have missed. It is what it is. But either way, the game is relaxing. I play just for leisure. So that sort of thing. Like I said, I'm no competitor at all. So don't overstate my skills, because I'm not. So, all right. So now with that being said, I've had a pool table for a while. I shoot pool on it. And constantly when I shoot pool, you know, balls end up in different places on the table. And I just try to find ways to make shots that maybe I'll need to make when I'm playing against somebody. So with that being said, you come up with all different angles of shots and ball placement ends up in places that you say you got to come up with a solution on how to make a shot. Sometimes you have balls in the way of the ball that you're trying to hit. Sometimes they're blocking the pocket, you know, all sorts of stuff. So anyway, with that being said, I've been doing this thing for a while, just practicing and just playing with other people. And you kind of start seeing a lot of different angles and you start saying, I've seen that angle before. And it gets you to a point where every time you see a shot, you kind of say, okay, I can bank this off of that corner pocket, blah, blah, blah. So now let's fast forward. So recently, I'm just on the internet. I'm looking, I'm on YouTube and I come across a guy doing a shot. Now he's not doing a trick shot. It's not like Massey or one of these guys who's shooting balls off the rail of the pool table and spinning around in circles. It was actually just a regular shot. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it was a shot that the way the guy shot it and the corner that he shot it off of, it's actually an angle that I never even thought that one would shoot a shot off of. And like I said, the reason why it caught my eye is because I've been seeing shots for forever. We've been playing pool for decades as kids, adults, the whole nine. So you start to come accustomed to certain shots, especially if it's not a trick shot. Now, obviously, if it's a trick shot, you know, they're using all sort of different apparatuses to make shots. So it's going to be a million things that you haven't seen in that regard. But this was just a normal pool table, regular cue ball versus the six ball or whatever you want to call it. And the angle that he shot it off on a particular rail, which was actually the center pocket, and the shot that he shot, I had never seen the shot before, which was one. And number two, had never even thought to try to make a shot using that angle or that cushion. So I'm saying this to say, like I said, let's go back to it. So a lot of times in life, you can kind of get tunneled into, you know, a certain way to do things. You're surrounding yourself with people who do things the same way as you, potentially even think the same way as you. So never think that you've seen it all. Never think that you know it all. There's always something that you can learn, always a way you can grow. And I just found that out even more. I mean, I know this already, but it just like I said, it just took me by surprise that even with a pool table, after all this time, there was a shot that I never even thought to even try. So just put that in your head, yo, for people out there listening. Always keep trying to sharpen your saw. Still sharpen, still. Never assume just because you've been doing something for a long time that you know all of the ins and the outs of whatever that is. Never think that you've seen it all, done it all, and you can't learn, because clearly in any instance, there's tons more to learn. There's something you didn't think was possible. And that's the name of the game of innovation. We got inventions out here that people are saying, this is the invention. Now, what can I do to build on it? Just imagine where we'd be as a society if an invention was made or never made and people just took whatever was here for this is it. Where would society be as a whole with that being said? So that's all I'm saying, my two cents on that. So, yo, keep looking over your shoulder. Keep looking forward. Look forward. And guess what? You're going to find an answer that's going to keep you moving forward. As you look forward, you're going to look forward, move forward, and keep going. That's all I'm saying. So, listen, I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to close this thing out. Yo, so stay tuned. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. All right, everybody, you hear that music, so you know what it is. It's almost that time. Before I close out, man, I want to say, just keep in mind, everything is up right now. We know prices are up for groceries. Rent is going up. What they want for houses are going up. Interest rates are up. Like I said, everything around it seems like it's going up. The little man or the small guy, the working man, whatever you want to call it, It seems like everything is coming on us, is falling back on us to pay this tab. So with that being said, man, don't fret. You know, don't worry, but put some things in your life that's going to help you weather the storm. And what I'm saying is, yo, man, you might have to watch your spending. Spend a little bit less. Try to eat a little bit less. Try to eat out a little bit less for sure, even though groceries are high. But either way, you got to eat. But either way, try to find ways to mitigate your spending so that way you can kind of balance out the increases that we're facing everywhere else. Because like I said, everything is up. Don't create unnecessary bills for yourself, especially not right now. Hopefully everything, you know, right the ship, everything will be back to the norm. But for now, we know it seems like we're coming out of our pockets for everything. So just want to give a piece of advice. While everything is up, you got to get low. Maybe now isn't the time to, you know, be gallivanting the streets and going all these different events if your pockets are tight. Like I said, just get low and weather the storm. You might be able to put up a few extra $100 a month, and that might be what saves you while all of this is going on. So with that being said, man, just tighten up out here, because like I said, middle class, the poor man, seems like everything's coming forth. It's income tax season. Maybe some of those things that you wanted to buy that were unnecessary, maybe leave those alone for right now and just put that bread up and put it in your pocket. Might help you get through. You know what I'm saying? So that's it, man. I just wanted to bless everybody. If I can be a blessing, I just want to say to everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Hindsight Media Radio, I got to thank you for making this all possible. Everybody out there, hit up RyanHodgeBooks.com for all your reading needs. And my podcast all backed up to my website as well. So if you missed it on here, when it's live, when we're on the air, hit the website, RyanHodgeBooks.com. But until then, yo, you know, next time we're going to do it. But I'm out of here, yo. Once again, this is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. Later.